Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Cannabis Insider. I'm Pat the Little.
And I'm Abby Higginbotham. In today's episode, we have an exciting one for you. We're deep diving into the crossroads of finance and innovation in the cannabis industry with two experts. We also have a front row seat for new developments shaping the field's future. So let's jump right in.
Let's go.
Dan, Christine, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
And happy to have you on. So to start, for those who may not know, and how dare you if you don't know, but could you each tell us a little bit about what you do and your companies?
Sure, I'll go first. My name is Christine Apple. I'm the formerly Christine Smith, the CEO and founder of Groon. We're an edible company, exclusively an edible company, started in Oregon. We're now in six states and Canada, soon to be seven with Ohio launching next month. Really excited to be operating in this space. We again are just an edible company. And I say that we do chocolates and gummies and hard candy, hard chocolate coated candies.
Yum. And Dan?
Yeah, and I'm Dan Neville. I'm CEO of AFC Gamma, which is an institutional lender into the cannabis and the commercial real estate space. The company is publicly traded on NASDAQ and went public a few years ago. I focus on the cannabis side of the business. We've deployed about $750 million of capital into the space and have a portfolio of $400 million of loans outstanding currently. And in the coming month or so, we'll be spinning off the commercial real estate business and becoming a pure play cannabis lender again, which is kind of going back to our roots. So we're super excited about that and super excited to deploy additional capital into the space as we recently did with Christine and the team over at Groon.
And we definitely want to get into that. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you both for that detail. And yeah, going straight to the news today. So AFC Gamma recently made a significant financial commitment to Groon Edibles, as you just mentioned. So I wanted to ask you, what about Groon's approach and products made them stand out as a solid candidate for your investment, especially as the edibles market expands?
Yeah, so I'll let Christine weigh in here too as well, but it was really about three things with the company. It was about first and foremost, I think, people, process, and product, the three P's that drive a lot of the business. And we had the good fortune of, you know, developing a relationship with Christine and Draper and some of the other folks at Groon over time. I think they have a you know, amazing team and a great vision for where they are today and where they want to be in the future. And Christine's obviously been a huge part of setting that vision over the course of many years. You know, the business model itself, I think, is pretty unique because, you know, they really set their operations up very intentionally in terms of how they expand, where they're investing their marketing dollars, controlling a lot more of the production and distribution than some of the other brand companies that we've seen out there, which we think sets them up for long-term success and continue, you know, an ability to continue to win market share as they expand state by state and gain market share in the states that they're ramping. And then obviously, first and foremost, the product itself. It's something that that Christine and the team have spent a lot of time developing and edible that not only tastes great, but also has great effects. They play in a lot of the minor cannabinoids, which are not easy to mask. I've had some CBN gummies in the market and tried them side by side with Grüne, not at the same time, but I will say, you know, you get a consistent product that tastes great every time. And the brand, I think, is really resonating with consumers, which goes back to the first part, the people and the process, because there's authenticity and quality in every pearl that people are consuming out there. And Christine, maybe you can talk a little bit more about where you're at and the market share and what we saw, because that's a great part of the story. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's hard to follow up. I'm going to take you on the road with me everywhere, Dan. That was great. Thank you. Yeah, I, you know, just to follow up a little bit on that, you know, we've from inception, I started this company back in 2014, 2015, and this is the first capital that we've ever taken. So this is a pivotal moment for this company to, and it's not that we haven't had the opportunity. I think I've known probably in the industry as a runaway bride. We've looked at capital over the years on multiple occasions, and you know, really, really finally decided that we're ready to take it. You know, we have always been very intentional and deliberate about our growth. We've stayed super laser focused, which has allowed us to continue to capitalize on our growth and then reinvest it. And as we look now to expedite our growth and open more markets at the same time, and we see the ability to really gain more market share and really just kind of blow up what we're doing, we found capital was necessary for that. And finding the right partner to be our capital, which really I say it's a capital partner. It's not just someone that is able to fund the money. It's having someone that can be your capital partner through this process. And AFC was really, and Dan himself was a real instrumental piece in our decision with going with AFC. You know, his background really as an operator at Ascend was really critically important. He picks up the phone. He helps us when you know, already this is a new relationship, but we've already found it really, really helpful as we continue to navigate our expansion.
Well,
thank you both.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's going great. And, you know, to both of you, building on the momentum, you were talking about growth here with the company. How do you kind of envision this partnership fueling ambitions on the East Coast, specifically initiatives, any specific, I guess, initiatives we can expect to see?
Well, what I... you know, we intend to deploy this money and this growth. Listen, let me just start by saying capital is expensive. Money is expensive. So you've got to really, if you're going to take money, you better know exactly what you're going to do with that money, and you better turn it around to make you money really quickly. And I say not overnight, but you better be very deliberate and intentional with what you're doing with that. So we have Ohio. We are moving into Ohio with full force. We are very bullish on New Jersey right now, the East Coast. We have Maryland opening in August. So those are three East, and I'm lumping Ohio into the East Coast, even though it's not. But those are three markets that we are really, really actively pursuing right now. Pennsylvania is right behind that. So you'll see us coming into Pennsylvania in Q1 next year. And those are in Illinois is coming up along behind there too. So those are all markets that we're looking at right now in some stage of development. Some as early as next month coming online.
Well, that's fantastic. Wow. It sounds like, yeah, there's exponential amount of growth.
Exactly. Yeah. And diving a little bit into this discussion around the cost of capital and the importance of knowing how to use it correctly, I wanted to start by saying that it's clear that innovation is at the heart of Grüne's success. So Dan just mentioned the minor cannabinoids used in Grüne's products. And Christine, could you delve into how this influx of capital will enhance your product development? And maybe if there are any new offerings in the horizon that you're particularly excited about.
So we absolutely have a slew of new products that are coming out. You'll see some of them start to come out again in the fall. We just released a new product last month that I'm really excited about. It's a 10-to-1 sleep product. It's a low THC, 25 milligrams of CBN and 2.5 of THC. Fantastic product. I think it's one of my favorite products we've ever brought out. And what I'm really encouraged to see is the market's response to it, which has been phenomenal, which is showing me as an edible in the edible category that the market is maturing, to see low dose products come out that are really effective and that the market is responding to, and is really great. Will we use this capital to do product development? The answer is no. We're using the capital to use it for expansion and improvements as we operate that way. Our operating capital is, we have operating capital, and that is funding all of our current innovation, that funds our staffing, all of our ongoing operations. We are not, like, and I would say to anybody, do not take capital to support your operations and the things that you are doing for your business. So innovation, operations, those pieces are all covered by our ongoing capital that the business generates.
Thank you for breaking that down.
And shifting, I kind of want to look at the bigger picture here. You know, it's not Cannabis Insider. My cats don't jump up on the table. It's just not a Cannabis Insider episode without that. But it's we also like to talk about what's going nationally, globally. And so, Dan, and to both of you, really, but could you paint a picture of the current investment landscape in the cannabis industry? Are there new trends in financing that Gran's example might inspire or signal in the market?
Yeah, I think Christine hit the nail on the head. Capital's expensive. Debt capital, equity capital, it doesn't matter what type of capital you're looking for. Unfortunately, there's been a capital drought in the cannabis industry for really the last 24 months at this point. I think equity raises are down, or sorry, capital raises on an LTM basis are down 63%. M&A activity is down by half, and that's off of a lower base from the previous year or two as well. So I think there are some, you know, brighter spots on the horizon with the things that are happening on the regulatory side of things at the federal level. But unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. And you haven't seen equity price appreciation in a lot of the publicly traded companies because they're trading on very, very junior exchanges in OTC and the CSE in Canada. So you see, you know, great volume and pretty surprising valuations, especially relative to the business profiles for some of the folks in Canada that are traded on the NASDAQ. You see pretty great businesses, but pretty paltry valuations for the public companies that are traded on OTC and the CSE. And the lack of capital is a problem for the industry because it's a capital intensive industry. You know, these cultivations don't come cheap. Retail expansion doesn't come cheap with all the security features, cameras, et cetera. And so that has, I think, caused a bit of a retrenchment in the industry, at least, you know, people looking to not be as aggressive on the M&A side of things, not look to expand their cultivation facilities as aggressively, and not expand as aggressively on the retail side of things until you have some relief. But that doesn't mean that everything's gloomy, right? We have, some progress on the federal level. You also have, I think, a lot of private companies that we're seeing that are really kicking butt out there, and Groom's one of them, right? Some of the other new operators that are coming into the space, we refer to them as 3.0 operators that are private today, but aggressively expanding on the M&A side of things, getting good deals at great valuations. I think in the backdrop, is just a continued march toward legalization between Pennsylvania, Ohio and Florida, which is on the ballot, you know, is on the ballot later this year, you have 38 million Americans, give or take, that will have access to adult use cannabis at some point in the next 2 years. That's significant. You have new medical programs that are popping up in Alabama, hopefully North Carolina. And so that steady march toward legalization continues. It's still a massive market. You know, a third of it is legal today. Two thirds is, on the gray market side of things, but it's still a huge growth market. And we think brands are going to matter over time, like they do in every other industry. And so we're excited to partner with Christine and the team to allow them to step on the gas here. And the last thing I'd say, I 100% agree with Christine. Like, you want to be careful about whether it's debt or equity capital. The capital is expensive, so you want to make sure that capital is going towards growth and expansion, and that'll put you in a really good spot. And we think that's, you know, the expansions that Gruen is going after are going to put them in an even better spot than they are in today, which is great.
Absolutely. And maybe jumping off topic a little bit, but you were just talking about how the legal markets are growing and how dynamic the policies nowadays, as we approach legalization, some would say fast, some would say very slow, but there are some concepts arising now that the market is getting bigger and bigger. And one of these is social fairness, which we see it's gaining traction. I wanted to ask you how integral is this to your operations ambition, Dan? And how does AFC reflect this commitment in its financial practices?
Social initiatives? Sorry, I missed the first part of the question.
Yeah, the concept of social fairness in terms of trying to make the cannabis industry basically more, to have a better impact on society as it grows.
Accessible.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, AFC actually has back, this was not my initiative and I can't take any credit for it. It was Lennon Robbins initiative who, you know, AFC was their brainchild and they founded it and took it public. But we've established a foundation that gives to charitable causes related to cannabis or otherwise. We were actually just sponsored an event in New York City that I was at a couple weeks ago for to teach you know, kids in the inner city chess, because that's it's a great learning and development experience and connects kids with coaches and travel and unique experiences that they wouldn't have access to otherwise. So that's something that is in our DNA from the founding. And I think that we would like to be somebody that supports not only social equity, you know, operators as they crop up in New York and Maryland and elsewhere. But also I think, our investment in Gruen was, you know, somewhat intentional. There's not enough, you know, this is a product that 50-55% of the consumers are female. You look across the industry and, you know, I'm not quite as old yet, but it's a lot of old white guys and there should be a lot more diverse representation across the executive suites in this industry when 50% of consumers are female. And, you know, to be honest, the track record of some of the folks in the industry isn't that great. So like, let's give some other folks a chance. So that being my last point on that.
A very important point. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, we just have a couple more questions for you all. And one that I like to ask is more so coming on with this recent announcement, AFC providing senior secured credit facility. What are one thing that you want listeners today to take away from this announcement? what about this news is just, you know, important, and what about, what aspect of it do our listeners need to know?
Well, I'll jump in there with that. I think this is it's an important time in the industry to see that there is capital being deployed again. We really had a drought for a while where capital really was super hard to come by. And I think there's a turning point in the industry and lots of things that are happening on all levels to see access to capital for good operators, right? So it seemed like years before, capital was available to anyone or to a lot more folks. Now you really have to have your ducks in a row, and you've got to be able to have demonstrate that the company is performing, and that you know, you've got to have a real mature company and a real mature plan. But I think that there is capital available is very confidence inspiring for the industry. It should be for the industry, and it should be for those folks that are in it. So I think that's a real telltale sign for the industry.
And Dan.
Yeah, and for me, I'd say the takeaway is, AFC for a period of time was, not as active in the cannabis space for a period of 12 to 18 months prior to myself joining because of some of the underlying macro issues that were happening in the industry. But I think, I joined this platform because I think, it's a great opportunity. I think there's something unique about being able to combine, the top-down approach that Len and Robin have instituted here with, looking at it through an operator's eye and also looking at things on a bottom-up basis. And I think that the equity price action today maybe might not show it. There are some green shoots in the industry in terms of new states flipping adult use, progress on the federal level, and outside of the public markets, there's still a bunch of great companies on the private side of things operating below the surface that are just building in quiet. And I characterize Christine and Tina Grun as doing this, but they're about to get a lot louder in, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, with more states on the horizon. So I think, it's just really exciting out of the operations game today. If Christine gives me a call for something, I'll certainly pick up the phone and try to be as helpful as I can as a partner. But I'm really excited to see our borrowing partners, grow, and hopefully we can grow along with them. I'd love to extend more capital to Christine and the Grun team if she can find additional uses for it down the line. But she's got a pretty full plate for the next 18 months. Yes. And excited to see him execute.
Thank you for that. And lastly, and you were just talking about the future and some of the emerging markets. You mentioned New Jersey, New York, who just yesterday they issued even more licenses. They are kind of trying to grow the legal market there. And I think you also mentioned rolling into Ohio's market. So are there any, are there any other emerging markets that you're both watching or any other, interesting strategies for the near future you want to share with us?
Florida is really interesting. I think everybody's watching Florida to see what's going to happen there. There's lots of states, but there's actually not that many of the big ones left to knock down, which we kind of talked about. Pennsylvania, Florida, some of these big guys there, some of that mid-belt with Texas and those guys, it's going to be the last to go. But really, we're focused really heavily on the East Coast right now, top to bottom. And I think one of the things I really love and feel super bullish about is the category that we're in. And as these markets, new consumers come online, we're seeing the trend grow with the edibles category. It is the product that new consumers, new to cannabis, are most often drawn to. And we see particularly people coming in for sleep. And really that is the big effort, the big item that we're seeing new consumers drawing on sleep. And so I think we're going to see not just the industry grow, but the category, the edible category grow over time. And I think brands themselves are going to be strongest in the edible category. It's what we're just drawn to. So, you know, I've never been more optimistic and more confident in where the industry is. I think there's this industry is going to look very different in 3 years from now than it does today. And really excited to be part of it.
Absolutely. Super enlightening answer. Thank you.
Well, yeah, no, and I can't agree with that more as someone who uses it for sleep. Excited to see that grow and new solutions there as well. So your new product sounds very exciting as well. But to both of you, thank you so much for joining us today. It's exciting to see how this, you know, strategy behind the finance world and innovation and products are coming together to propel the industry forward. Everything's constantly changing here. So thank you both very much for coming on and talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, of course.
Have a nice day.
Come back anytime, and until next time.
Great.